All right, everybody out there, welcome and happy Friday night. Happy 4th of July weekend. We got a great one coming up. It's going to be a great show. We got a great guest lined up tonight. Hope everybody out there is doing well. We've got with us, as always, shocking himself faster than he can shock the world. We got our token mad scientist, Old Man Bills. How you doing tonight there, old man?
Dude, I'm doing great. This is going to be a fantastic show.
Yeah, I'm really hyped, looking forward to it. Always a good time over here. We do also have that snooty lady. She is finally back from her travels, hanging out in her rat-infested camper, only here just to make us poors feel good about ourselves. How you doing tonight there at Gutter's Pub?
I'm excited for this evening. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, always good to have you here. Hope you made it out of there without any, rabies from the rats. Joining us tonight as well, we've got our token redheaded stepchild. How you doing tonight there, Tombstones?
I'm doing great. Happy freaking Friday, everybody.
All right, there we go. And coming to us as well, we got the mouth of Houston sitting up here with us. How you doing there tonight, LW?
Hey, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. Looking forward to this. Hope everybody's excited.
There we go. And fresh off her latest tour, our country music sensation, KJ. What's going on, KJ? How you doing there tonight?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday. Woot, woot. Let's do this.
Oh, we got to get that woot, woot in there. Good to see you, KJ. And joining us tonight, we got Dan Richards from Debunking. I always want to say debunking. It really screws me up. How you doing tonight there, Dan?
Oh, not bad. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, it's going to be a blast. So, yeah, everybody, welcome in. Sit back. This show's about to get kicked off. Like I said, thanks for being here. We are streaming live. Let's see. We're live on LW's. We're live over here at Traveling Fools. We're live on Tombstones. We're live on Old Man Builds. We are live just about everywhere. We're live on X as well. So no matter where you're watching from, we appreciate you being here. Sit back. We're about to get going.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
Then you won't be angry.
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
Listening to the ASN Podcast Network.
All right. Hope everybody's doing good out there. Thanks a lot for being here. Like I said, we're streaming out live on all kinds of places. We're live over here on Debunking. We're live on Gutter's Pub. We're live on Old Man Builds. We're live here Traveling Fools. We're live on Tombstones. Hell, we're live on LW's. Jesus Christ, no matter where you are, you're probably going to have to put up with us. Dan Richards, how you doing tonight there, brother?
Oh, doing really well. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Baker. How you doing?
Yeah, man, doing great, doing great. It's great to have you up on here. I'm always a big fan, watching your stuff for quite a long time. I notice you've getting a lot of attention here lately from some crazy folks. We'll talk about that later. First question I do have for you, though, we got to ask every guest that comes up on here, did we or did we not land on the moon in 1969?
I do think we did land on the moon in 69.
Okay. Like I told you, I've been going around getting that man on the street interviews. It's pretty funny, the responses I've gotten from people. I'll tell you, it's about 60-40, 60% say no, which is
I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm not 100% that that's the case. I can understand why people would say that there's not, that it didn't happen. Personally, the evidence seems to be, it's mostly the biggest one is the people that watched the rocket fly up and into space. It was pretty heavily watched by the civilian population. And some of them had some good gear. So anyway, that's, I don't want to keep us too derailed, but this to explain my point, because I do get why people would say, I mean, this is a fucking space race, right? You're dealing with the Soviets. No holds barred, right?
Right, exactly. I always go back to the main thing that makes me call bullshit on that is that hunk of junk that they dropped down on there, that the Eagle thing that came down looks like it's all wrapped in duct tape and aluminum foil and all that kind of stuff. That's the only build out of cardboard. It looks like a 12th grader science project or something. That's the only thing that throws me off on it. But, other than that, it's,
My supporter Rising Kairu says flags don't wave in space, and I do think it's politically incorrect to call them flags nowadays. We call them gay people, and they can wave in space all they want. Jesus. Thanks a lot, dude. We start us off really messed up.
Right, exactly. We're off to a dandy start. See, I told you, you fit right in over here. Very, very much so. I'm going to go on ahead and let you highlight these. I did notice a couple people coming in here kicking over some super chats to you. We can go ahead and knock those out there.
Are we there? Yeah, we're in. We're in, Pagan. Thank you. He started before we started.
And there is another one came in here. Not exactly. I can star those damn things. I'm not sure. Maybe that's over on yours. I'm not sure who's these are coming in there.
But those are both the Pagan and Raizu. They're regulars on my channel.
Ah, there you go. Always appreciate the support, folks. Always appreciate it. So, Dan, let me ask you this. So, what got you started in doing this YouTube stuff? I know you're an electrician by trade. How the hell did you end up doing YouTube?
Well, I ended up with like my son. I got custody of him almost 11 years ago. I really helicopter parented him because, you know, there was a lot of attention that he needed. And then he got to a point where he was just like, okay, Dad, helicopter the fuck somewhere else. And so I'd been a big Graham Hancock fan forever and a day. Like, Fingerprints of the Gods I pre-ordered from Hastings in 95, right before it was available. I had it on my list. So I've been in it to it forever. And so I watched Ancient Apocalypse because I had all this newfound time. And then I knew there would be debunkers in this day and age because of the YouTube sphere, because I've been, you know, chronically online for most of my life. And then I go watch the debunkers, and I'm just like, these guys, they're not watching, they're not actually watching Graham's work. They don't pay attention to his body. I compared it to somebody debunking evolution by picking at one bone. And it's like, but do you see how the Piltdown Man was wrong? It's like, there's this whole body of work that you're ignoring. And so I came in and started making videos. And this Tiger Star, Emperor Tiger Star, he's a YouTuber with a few hundred thousand subscribers. And he had like 200,000 subscribers, had a video debunking Fingerprints of the Gods. And I had like 800 subscribers. And I made a video addressing his, and he took his down because it was just so full of holes. And at that point, I kind of realized that there was nobody else doing exactly what I was doing. People would come in and be like, oh, these guys are just, they're all part of big archaeology or whatever. And I just rolled up my sleeves and was like, no, you got this fact wrong. You got this fact wrong. You got this fact wrong. And so, yeah, anyway, that's where the de-dunking thing came from. And that's why some of those guys hate me so damn much.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I don't think they took it very well. You can tell them what they were wrong about, you know?
I like this super chat you got coming here. How did you end up on doing YouTube? Got too drunk one night. Exactly.
Raju's one of mine for sure.
Yes, I think that may be how we all ended up here. Definitely. Yeah, I didn't even like. I always did everything on X, you know, back in the day. And after, you know, things changed on X and ended up losing a whole lot of people. It was, you know, sometime around 2020. You know, so it kind of changed their stuff there. So then I came to YouTube.
Yeah. Has it worked out for you pretty good?
Yeah, about choked there. I ended up coming to YouTube and started doing things here. Very different. You know, right at first, I kept getting kicked off of YouTube and then had to, you know, keep coming back, trying YouTube again, getting monetized, getting demonetized. It was quite the thing. You know, eventually you feel like you're just bowing to the overlords at some point. You know what I mean? Because at first, like, I'm stubborn. You know, I'm like, screw that. I'm not taking that down. I finally ended up deleting like 4 million views of content and just to get, monetization back over here. So, you know. Stubborn guy.
It's unfortunate, but I understand that. No, I understand why you do that. It's almost like writing a parody song. It's like you could still say what you want, but you're restricted within these realms. For example, when I cuss at people on the internet, I do the filters and stuff. They're not new, and so I've been navigating those for a while. So I don't say suck me off. I say Lickus my proboscis.
We're using code words. We're using code
which
words.
Which is like more appropriate.
A lot of channel today. People,
it's funny, too. It's funny.
It's hilarious.
Right? And so at the end of the bot, it's the same with, like, you don't call somebody incest baby, you call them incest survivor, because survivor is, like, you know, code for survivor. So there's much less a chance of getting filled. All those little tricks like that, but yeah.
Oh, geez. So like, of all the stuff you've looked into, what would you say is, like, your favorite, you know, your favorite topic you've covered?
I mean, of all of the stuff that I've covered, probably my favorite topic, in all honesty, I mean, my favorite thing to think about is ancient Egypt. Now, when it comes to the stuff that I personally feel like I've done the best job with would be, like, my take on the Baghdad Battery, the highlighting of the cover-up of the elongated skulls, of course, proving that Flint Dibble lied on the debate with Graham Hancock on Joe Rogan. That was a pretty big one. But again, honestly, ancient Egypt is the one that's the most fun. Straight up, just the most fun. Come on, there's a reason they call us pyramid idiots, right?
See, I agree. That's like where, you know, everybody up here, we've kind of put a panel together of, you know, lunatics basically here that we always have. We're all kind of into different things, you know, so to speak. And mine's always the ancient civilizations. I always go back, you know, to ancient. Now, have you been to Egypt yet, Dan?
I have not. No, I haven't. Here in the next couple of years, now that my son's going to graduate and stuff. But
well, you have to let us know if you're interested in going. I'm actually trying to plan a trip over there with a few different people. And doing it, because I, you know, I'm kind of one of those safety in numbers kind of people. You know, if you get a bunch, you know, 4 or 6 dudes, you know, walking along 6 foot tall, you know, you're not going to be the prime target. It's going to be that old couple over there or something like that that people are going to, you know, try to target out, you know. So I'm actually been trying to put together a group, you know, a group to go over there and do that. So, yeah, we'll have to keep you posted on that one, because it'll be pretty fun. A bunch of degenerates in Egypt, you know, if we can make it back without getting arrested, that would be good.
Yeah, that's one of the jokes I made with my boy Jimmy Crusade. We were talking about getting ready to talk to Zahi Hawass on Piers Morgan the first time. I told him that it's like, you can let me take these in the dome, because one of us is going to climb off of the airplane in Egypt and get caught smuggling heroin. Well, I'm not going to Egypt anytime soon, and you are, so I'll be the one. But of course, that didn't work out, because Jimmy's more of a firecracker than I am. But I got to address Rue here. I wonder if these guys have read Dan's X post. Well, that's a very, very good question.
I was actually about to bring that up right there, because I saw one you put up earlier that absolutely cracked me up. It had something to do with a glory hole. And that was...
yeah, I hate that I know funny. What that is.
I don't. Will someone explain that one to me?
No.
You only know what one side. What you only know what one side looks like.
Oh wow! Oh my gosh!
Is it a regular hoe, but better?
No,
a regular hoe, better. Oh fuck! That's great. Yeah, I love it.
Oh jeez!
Sorry, I'm supposed to behave.
Yeah. I don't see anybody behaving here. But yeah, so riddle me this, with the Zahi Hawass thing, you know, I watched that guy is insufferable. I just can't stand him. What's your take on him? Like, you know, how do you feel about this?
Well, Zahi is, I think, honestly, a lot of it is a gimmick. He knows what side his bread's buttered on. There's a video I made a little bit ago that was talking about it, but there's clips that I show about him all the time that was a clip of him that I like to highlight a lot. That was after Arab Spring, when they had all the revolutions in Egypt in around like the mid 2000s, tourism went down from like billions of dollars a year down to like a trickle of a few hundred million. Right. And so Zahi Hawass is talking about this, and he says, no matter what bad is happening in Egypt, those new age people, they will come. And the thing is, he knows that the mystery is what sells. So by playing the moving shell game with, and I'm not saying that there's not artifacts disappearing. I'm not saying there's not things being hidden. I'm saying that these make him money. This is why, like, opening up that second chamber that they found with the muon scans a decade ago now, It's like, this could be the goose that laid the golden egg. What if they find a mummy in there? What if they find this Khufu's body in there? I mean, it's a big deal. Get a lot of attention for a little bit, but all those Atlantis bros, they're in Zahi's mind, it might be enough to prove everything's bullshit to all of us, and now he doesn't get all the tourism anymore. If you watch Lee Clare on Twitter, he started this too. 2 years ago, he was not antagonistic at all. Now he goes around talking so much shit. He's one of the guys that I blocked, which I don't block a whole lot of people on Twitter, but they got to get pretty antagonistic, and Lee's one of them. And he's the dude that's in charge of Göbekli Tepe. Same kind of thing. The mystery is what sells. You don't need to investigate. Why dig up more? The people hoping that they can get into that thing over there, that's what's getting those fuckers out here to begin with.
Mm.
So I think that's a huge part of Zahi Iwasa's case. He is a heel from wrestling. He's a deliberate villain.
Right. I don't trust the guy. He looks like a villain, you know, like you would see him in like, you know, one of those Scooby-Doo or something like that. He looks like, you know, you'd pull the mask and be him underneath, you know, sitting there with the big nose and all that. I just don't trust the guy. He's very, very unlikable as well. I remember him getting like, I guess with Jimmy Corsetti, he was like so mad at Jimmy on that one. I guess it was on Pierce. And you could just see the anger seething out of that guy. And it was beautiful to watch. I mean, I'll be honest.
I guess one of the things I say a lot is that, you know, I've been online for a long time. And, you know, be in the 80s and the 90s, early 2000s, you type and argue with somebody, you'd imagine, you're like, man, that guy's probably over there just, you could just tell as fast he's typing all the typos. That guy's mad as fuck. He's over there just seething. But now you see it on the internet in real time. They'll make a video and they'll start yelling.
Yeah,
it makes it so much fun.
Those Piers Morgan shows can get pretty hyped, pretty crunk.
Yeah, when me and Jim were behind the scenes the first time, they had Milo Rossi and Flint Dibble on, and then me and Jim were talking in the back room chat before they let us on, and I, you know, that this is like Maury Povich, and we're the Jilted X. They're gonna drag us out there. we're fucking Jerry.
Right, exactly.
You mentioned Flint and Dibble. Oh. I went back. I'd seen clips of you on Rogan, but I went back and listened to the episode this week. I highlighted my favorite comment here. It says, I'm flinting my Dibble so hard right now in the comment section.
Yeah, the Flint Dibble guy, he's another insufferable person. I mean, like, you can just like feel the, you know, the soy just seeping out of the guy. But shout out to whoever made the Flint Dribble channel on X that goes, like, especially behind every one of Jimmy's posts that he goes up. It's the Flint Dribble, and it's like, well, let me explain. You know, it's the, I love that freaking account, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
So what was it like? Like, you know, I got to know. You know, going on those shows, I mean, those people just reach out to you and they were like, you know, hey, we've noticed your stuff. I mean, how did all that, you know, come to pass?
Well, I got an email from, or a message from a dude on Twitter, John Grimsby, who's he's the archaeoastronomer who did the work on Draco from Heaven's Mirror, Graham Hancock's book, Heaven's Mirror. And, so we followed each other and he reached out to me after, well, I started making videos on Flint Dibble and the things that he'd gotten wrong that looked like deliberate lies in the debate. And when he reached out to me, he told me he was telling Graham about it. And then like 2 days later, I wake up and check my email or I'll check Twitter, and Graham had messaged me there. And that was crazy. I mean, you expect to scroll to the bottom and be like, yeah, I just need $500 to do Ancient Apocalypse Season 2, so just send it to my Venmo. Just like we've all seen the fake celebrity stuff, but no, it was really him. And then Rogan followed me, and then it wasn't long, and here I am now, right? So it just kind of snowballed. It was pretty lucky, to be honest with you.
Like I said, I felt...
When I did that guy Emperor Tiger Star video, which was a year before that, I felt like when he took that thing down, I felt like I was alone in a field with a plow. It was like there's this massive amount of work to do, and there's nobody else doing it. Otherwise, I mean, this video had been up for a couple of years. Nobody, the fruit was so low hanging. Like, you guys know who Charles Hapgood is? He talked
I'm not sure who that is.
Okay, Charles Hapgood was a guy in the 1950s, 1940s, even 30s, who was into the idea of Earth crust displacement, that the entire rigid crust of the Earth had slipped over the molten core, like if you detached a peel from an orange, and the peel was to slip over the inside of the orange. And he thought that's why, he thought that like the Hudson Bay was once the North Pole, for example. And that's why you had mammoths that were frozen with buttercups in their mouth and that kind of stuff. So he had corresponded with Einstein, and Graham cites Hapgood regularly in Fingerprints of the Gods. And so this dude that's making the video picking it at Fingerprints of the Gods says there's no way that Einstein wrote the foreword for Hapgood's book, because Einstein died 3 years before Hapgood's book was published. But it's like, it's really easy to prove that that's, you know, I mean, books don't come out in one day, man. The foreword was written like 5 years before the book came out. So it's real simple stuff like that, where it's like the guy, I couldn't find any information about this man. And then he's like, all I could find was his obituary. And it's like, well, his obituary has the bomber wing he flew for in World War II. If you look that up, then you find it's like this guy's supposed to be a professional historian, academic, and he can't be. They treat Atlantis stuff like they treat flat Earth stuff. The people that watch it that are on their side don't give a shit if they get the facts right or not, because they just assume that everything we say is wrong to begin with. And the people on our side are generally speaking hippies that are like, fucking miss me with that energy, bro. I don't really care what you have to say. And so they just kind of get away with just making vapid content and making money for it, just publishing lies, which is so ironic when they're going around calling other people grifters.
Right, 100%. Now I saw that moron, what's his name, Professor is it Professor Dave?
Okay, he's Professor, a dumbass.
He's like another,
it's insufferable. But I noticed,
yeah, he made that video about you recently, and all he wanted to do was talk about how, you know, you were nothing to him and how he didn't think about you. But he spent all that time editing and doing that whole video and putting in the stupid little childish emojis and, you know, all this stuff. And he did all that while at the same time sitting there saying how much you didn't matter to him. And he spent all that time. I mean, you know, how do you look at that? Is that not a win in itself right there?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, I've got a video that's coming out. Should be out tomorrow. I've been pushing this guy for a minute because he gets everything wrong. Not everything. He gets so much wrong. All right? Like, he gets so much wrong. Like, in that video, for example, he says, Dan will never make a retraction to this video. Well, it's funny. You know, I posted several retractions, and one of them is to that. Literally, my next video, right at the beginning of it, right after the little Anya sings Only Time, and right immediately it goes to me saying, before we get started here, I need to publish a retraction. It's he doesn't care if he's factually accurate or not with the information he dispenses. So it's like that he's flailing around because he knows that, like, basically he knows he's stuck. He's in a position, I don't want to spoil too much, but he's in a position where he doesn't have a whole lot of a choice at this point. He's going to be posting retractions to the shit that he said one way or the other. And he's aware of it. That's why he wants to box me, which, to be very clear here, as I said on my posts tab and on X, if Dave really wants to box, then I will do 3 illicit substances a half hour beforehand. I pick the doses and the types, and we'll box a half hour later, and we'll see who wins. We'll see if he makes it to the ring.
I would definitely make him take a drug test, because I'm pretty sure he's going to fail for estrogen. I mean, not to be crude or anything. I'll try to
put the glory hole.
Right, I'll try to put this as, you know, eloquently as possible. But I mean, the guy looks like he could fall into a 55-gallon drum full of calico cats and come out with a wiener dog in his rump.
yeah, he's Dave's a funny one, man. He's I watching his interview on Danny Jones is probably the most telling thing I've ever seen in my life about somebody. He was so like, when Danny asked him, he's like, he's like, well, what would you think if you got demonetized for saying things? Well, that would be a problem, because I publish factual information. No, and he goes, well, these guys think they're publishing factual. Oh, no, they know they're grifters. They know they're lying. It's like, dude,
Well, it's the arrogance.
He couldn't even come up with a straight answer to him. I watched that. He couldn't come up with a straight answer. It was horrible to watch. The train wreck.
All right, I'm going to address a couple of these guys real quick. Rising car use is Flint Double Prison named Bonesaw. God damn it. Rising, I love you, you crazy son of a bitch. Everybody I don't like is literally Grifter. Yeah, that's actually most of their names. Major Dickbone says, I'm an amateur archaeologist. Professor takes my primary handler. Yes. Not all the archaeos, just the rump. Yeah, Rue likes the term the rump for the shitty archaeologists. The archaeologists that are on the, it's like the majority of these guys are doing good work, right? The problem is, let's look at it this way. The Flint Dibble works with seeds and bones and food and stuff like that. All right, that's his primary focus. He doesn't work with, like, ancient engineering. He doesn't work with, like, a whole huge swath of what we talk about. But he wants to come in and pretend that he's an expert on these things, more so than Graham Hancock, because he's literally studied the shit for longer than Flint's been alive. So it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Seriously, that's, how can you... I worked as an electrician, a lineman as an electrician. He's out working on a telephone pole with a kajillion volts, and I was working with like 120, 240 volts. We don't really advise each other, okay? Our overlap is minimal. So just because he's an archaeologist, somebody else's archaeologist, doesn't mean that he's got all the expertise in his back pocket. And the ones that are... Okay, the ones that are diametrically opposed, that are just like knee-jerk reaction opposed to different ideas, to different things. These guys are damaging. Well, let's put it this way. If guys like Dave Farina, who attack every scientist who publishes anything outlandish or out of the ordinary immediately, and with big, all he has to do is have some scientists to push back. If the majority, if the consensus caused... If the consensus is against an idea, Dave will jump and attack that idea. If that shit was happening when Pasteur was around, we wouldn't have germ disease here. I mean, this is you can't ever advance. Every single real advancement in scientific history has been in the face of the norm, whatever you want to call it, the accepted knowledge. So sorry, I'm rambling.
He's a Google regurgitator. All he does is, if it's not on Google, he doesn't say it. The guy has absolutely no opinion on what goes on normally, and no, he doesn't pull anything out of the box whatsoever. Dude, complete clown. And then he starts pausing people's videos every 2 seconds to say something like it's something smart. And it's like, dude, you should just shut your mouth every once in a while, because you could actually learn something.
His degree of main character syndrome, as the kids call it, is so ridiculously high. Like, he complained that I took an old Pink guy song from years ago from the Filthy Frank days of YouTube, and the song says the only reason that you're lonely is because you're fat and gay, and I changed it to Fat and Dave. And he's complaining about it, right? He's all pissed, and he's like, oh, you're he's like, what? This is how you do scientific discourse. But it's like, of all the people in the world, you call everybody every day with the book, you're a liar, you're an idiot, fucking Sasquatch taint, for Christ's sake. And he's gonna cry because I call him fat. I call him fat, right? He's like 10 pounds from the time he started YouTube.
I noticed he came up with that nickname. So he's like, so I've made up a nickname for this guy, you know, it's Sasquatch Tank. I mean, that's like you're in fifth grade or something. I mean, at least do better. You know what I mean? If you're going to troll somebody, at least do better. That's very bad.
Yeah. He's bad because I just grabbed it and ran with it. I talked about Danny Jones like multiple times and laughed about it. And I was just like, yeah, Washington State, bitch. Sasquatch represent.
you should start like another, like a shorts channel or something, just name it Sasquatch Taint, you know. Just do nothing but videos.
It. Oh man, I don't know, man. You might get a lot of really weird followers.
Oh, you definitely will. Sure. You definitely will.
Oh, there's
there's something special about the big, and I love all my Bigfoot people, and I do love Bigfoot. You know, the thing about and the lore around it, it's really fun. You know, but boy, that Bigfoot community is. I mean, they're cutthroat. Like, it's, did you, like, the recent, thing with the videos and the new documentary coming out. I mean, it put the whole Bigfoot community into like this. They were all fighting with each other and hating each other. It was absolutely ridiculous to watch. Almost as like the true crime people on here.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. There's a lot of things like that that come into these communities, and like we're kind of dealing with the archaeology stuff, with the archaeology, alternate archaeology with the scans under Giza, where it's got like a really clear, distinct line of people. Some believe that these are real and some believe that these aren't. And it's, you know, these kinds of church splits, I understand why they exist, and I understand why people argue about these sorts of things, but it's also, you know, like I said, when I was on stage with Billy Carson, in one of the events that I was, one of the quests for ancient civilizations, which the next one's coming up in Austin here in October, plug, I was talking about how, you know, we've all got different opinions. It's like a herd of cats. It ain't like the archaeologists at all. But we do need to remember that we're all just 15 minutes away from being called white supremacists by Flint Dibble, even Billy. I mean, we can argue about big rocks, but let's argue with big rocks about the people who won't even let us talk about the evidence without calling us names first.
I thought that was such poor taste when he went after Jimmy with that. That wasn't really, because I really like Jimmy Corsetti. He's a good dude, and I've followed. I remember when he was, before he was even at 1,000 subscribers, I found his channel, came across it, and I was like, wow, you know, this is a cool channel. And he was, you know, doing all the rich hot structure and the, you know, the Eye of the Sahara, doing those videos. And that's fascinating stuff. And, you know, a lot of people, you can believe it or not, it's all a myth. But why do you think so many of these people, you know, like the Flint Dribbles, I'm going to call them Dribble, like the Flint Dribbles and the, why are they so scared to like open the possibility of something they didn't learn in a textbook being real?
Well, I think the big part of it is the ego of the, they know that they're not practicing a real science. They know that it's close, that there's parts of it that are scientific, but they also know that they can't ever achieve certain things like replicability in any meaningful sense. We're always stuck. If an archaeologist claims archaeologist lies about the stratigraphy when they're digging up a bunch of stuff, they draw their pictures wrong, they take their photographs wrong, they fake these things, we have no way of proving that because there's no way to replicate that dig. So, we can heavily imply it by a huge body of evidence, but like an example of how different sciences are from when they're soft to when they're hard is like taxonomy, like the different animals and how they believed one evolved into another, and then like they had all these trees built, phylogenetic trees, and then we get DNA, and all of a sudden they're like, well, this whole fucking chunk moves over there, this chunk moves. Now we have some real hard data. Before, we were just kind of looking at things, putting things together. And so anyway, archaeologists know that they're LARPing as scientists. They're fully aware that they can't pull off all the things it takes to do a proper science. So this is fucking creates some, the same thing as the same psychological thing as the pastor who rails against gays all day long and then goes diddles some 16-year-old boy homosexual fucking prostitute in the bathroom somewhere. And it's this, you're self-loathing.
Right.
And so they knee-jerk react to, like, this is why we see, like John Hoops, the guy who, like, that Graham wanted to debate, but he wouldn't, so Flint debated him instead. John Hoops flat out says that he got into archaeology because of Atlantis. And they all dress like fucking Indiana Jones for a reason, man. And Indiana Jones doesn't teach about stratigraphy. He chases fucking magical artifacts and locks them away for nobody to ever find again.
This belongs in a museum.
They learn to have fun with it. They come in with love, and they come out of the school with this certain ones of them that are taught to hate alternate ideas, and they just come out with this disposition. It's like, again, they just would accept the fact. Historians do the exact same work that archaeologists do, except for the historians sitting in a room and read about it instead of digging it up out of the ground. But at the end of the day, historians don't try to call their conclusions scientific.
Right. And I noticed you were putting a thing out, you know, recently about, you know, a lot of these archaeologists, you know, are they scientists or are they not scientists? And, you know, what's kind of your take on that and logic and reasoning with it?
Well, I mean, the scientific method's pretty straightforward, and there's certain things that you can and can't do. And with archaeology, again, with the replicability, and like, you know, people will try to argue, well, you can't replicate a supernova. So astronomy is in the same boat. You can't replicate that. But here's the difference. If a supernova happens, we've got 500 telescopes that are around the world that are all picking up data. So if one guy tries to lie about the data that he gets, he fucking can't. It's been replicated 499 other times. But if somebody makes a dig and they lie about what they found, we can't prove that they're lying. And right. That's a huge fucking difference. Right off the bat, that makes where the replicability, we are as forced to accept what an archaeologist says as rule as we were to accepting what the cops said before they had body cams. Totally at their discretion whether or not we get the proper data or not. And so I'm not saying that archaeologists are a pack of fucking liars. What I'm saying is we have a scientific method that checks for that doesn't say, I hope you guys aren't liars. I'm not saying you are. It rejects liars by methodology. You will be eliminated because and archaeology is incapable of doing that right off the bat. Not you can't be a science with that. So it's like you can do radiocarbon dating. That's scientific. You could do a lot of different things that are scientific, but and that maybe even science is in and of its own right. But you know, using chemistry doesn't make archaeology a science, right? I mean, I can use proper measurements and use metrology to measure somebody's skull, but that doesn't make phrenology a proper science. If you guys know what phrenology is,
right?
Okay. Really quick, I need to address Rising Car Use chat. Sorry, bud. It's not Professor Dave. It's Professor Ree Day, short for Professor Retarded. very nice. Oh, somebody, Traveling Fools got some memberships gifted. Hell yeah. Nice.
Yeah, we're out there. You got another one here, too. Somebody.
Scientish, right?
Scientish.
Sorry. <Yeah.
laughs> No, it's all good. And we thank everybody for being here. There's, you know, a beautiful 342 people tuned in across platforms watching right now. So we do got a good audience going on. Thanks, Dan, for being up here. Each and every one of you, the chat is absolutely rolling over here between every different place. But we do see all your chats coming in and all that jazz. So thanks, everybody, for being here. No matter where you are watching, you know, hit that thumbs up button. Do what you got to do. But we appreciate you. We appreciate you being here.
Yes, very much. And yeah, sorry to interrupt. I just don't want Ryzu's always throwing a few bucks at me to say something silly. I don't want to. Like a good thing, right?
Oh yeah, those are the best. Those are the best. Yeah, bring them up whenever you want. I'm on it, brother. I'm on it. You just let me know. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. You know, I always look at it, and I know it's happened before 2020 and this that kind of jazz. But like, I always looked at science, and up until you know, especially with 2020, I said, you know, trust the science. You know, trust all that. You have to believe. Before that, it seemed like science is an ever evolving process. Like, you know, there was at one time, if it was trust the science, we'd have people out there, you know, bloodletting and putting leeches on bodies and doing all these things like that. That was the science at one point. Science is supposed to be a process that is ever evolving, ever going. You learn more, and as you go and learn more, you change your data, you change your stuff. But it drives me insane with some of these people to where, like, to even look to see if there is something more to this. You are like, so that professor, what is it? Professor Dave? We got to think of a nickname for this guy, but something better than Sasquatch Taint. But so he was on there like putting you into the same, like as flat earthers, he was like grouping you into the same thing as flat earthers because you dare to question the science. You know, they call themselves scientists. Ass clowns is what I would call them. But you dare to do that. And I mean, that's not right.
Well, it's so patently anti-scientific that, you know, if you want to really get into science communication, and that's what Professor Dave calls himself, and that's what I would call myself in a lot of ways, to be a science communicator. A lot of times that's all I talk about is will be, and I'll give you my opinion, but the science is where I'm leaning. That really the first dude that really did that with like hard data and injected it into the mainstream was Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan said something very plain about questioning science. He says, if you're not able to question those in authority, you're not able to question those in power, then you're up for grabs. Mm-hmm. And he says that science isn't a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe with a fine understanding of human fallibility. And that last part is so fucking important, because when a guy like Dave comes in and he admits that he doesn't know this stuff, he admits that I go to the scientific consensus and then I get those guys and I get my information from experts. A lot of times I have a hard time remembering these things because I talk about so many different topics. And in other words, I go into these topics that I don't know about. I'm just shotgunning all over the place. Don't really know what the fuck I'm babbling about. Well, okay, that makes for great money when what you do is insult people and you get a bunch of people in your comment sections that just want to yell. But it's not conducive to any sort of you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, and you admit it. Well, you know, at that point, it's like, which scientists do you believe? And if you are going to admit that there are certain areas, like, for example, with the 2020 stuff, if you're going to admit that there is an area there that you can't trust the scientists because they seem to be polarized, they seem to be fighting. And by the way, the medical community still has the top 10 papers that are the most cited after being retracted are all medical. The medical community is at each other's throats over this shit still. Yeah. So, when that's the case, there's really only two options. And one of them is to say, I picked my team and I don't really know for sure. I picked my team. You be honest with yourself that way, or you do your own goddamn research. But if you're not doing your own research and you're just like picking a scientist and trusting it, that's as fucking scientific as picking a religion and trusting it. It's not scientific at all. I've made a decision because this guy, I saw this guy wearing the same anti-politician I don't like sticker that I wore on my car. Fucking, I think he must be right. It is just superficial nonsense.
You drive a Prius too?
No, I don't drive. They let you drive? High school guidance counselor Dave Zanafia says, yes, he's on it. You're awesome. Yeah, high school guidance counselor, I would bet some money there's a bunch of kids that walked out of that room with a sore poop chute. But not saying that, allegedly. Ever since they shut down the island. So, that was one of the best parts about his interview with Danny Jones. It's like, you know, he was kicked off of X for anti-Semitism, right? Like, he was banned from X for, like, talking, like, openly anti-Jewish stuff. And so, when he's on Danny Jones and Danny's like,
wait, who is this guy? I want to follow him.
Professor Dave, yeah. When he's on Danny Jones and Danny says, so did you, he's like, so has there ever been a conspiracy theory that you've been wrong about? It's like, oh, no, never. He's like, well, what about all the Epstein stuff? And you're clearly referring to like Pizzagate, trying to get him to like, you know, I'm sure that 15 years ago you weren't in agreement with all that shit. Well, Dave's like, well, you know, I always knew there was something up with him, and starts talking immediately how he's an anti-Zionist and how that's why he always knew there was a problem with Epstein. And it's so goddamn funny. It's like, well, of course he eats babies. Did you look at the fucking last name? Steen? Hello? It's like, Jesus Christ, bro. Woo! No wonder they kicked you off X, man. I say some spicy shit, but goddamn. So, yeah, anyway, this guy, it's funny, man. Like, he's it's funny because I know that he thinks he's like so aggressive and gets all these he talks about how he's taking my channel down and all this stuff, and it's like, dude, I do public tours and stuff where I go to fucking all these speaking events and shit. Mm-hmm. And I know it's crazy, I don't upload as much during those times, so I get my views go down and stuff sometimes and stuff. And he was even the parts about me not making money and stuff, and I was like, oh my dear Christ. You ever seen my shelves, bitch? I can buy your car with the fucking video games on it, man. Come on. Shut up. Right. Yeah. I got
so,
a
so, car. Okay, you talk about video games. Favorite video game all time, go.
Lords of Thunder for the Sega CD, probably.
That's all a right. Really good one. I got to go with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
I love that game.
I can still like, just like my social security number, I can go 00737735963, you know, boom, you know, right up there, have Mike Tyson, ding, 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 you know, and then I get knocked out in the first, you know, three hits, and I'm like, God damn it. Yeah, I didn't realize you could have one of these Xbox controllers and do like the, play that live just with an Xbox controller and an emulator. So every now and then, like, I'll get drunk at night and go live, you know, and play, try to beat Mike Tyson and run through the game, you know. And, yeah, I still haven't beat that son of a bitch, man. It's pissing me off. I used to be able to do it every time, but, you know. Yeah. I do have a message, a question from the chat there. Yeah. What do you think about, like, carbon dating with artifacts and stuff like that?
Well, I think carbon dating...
That's one question I had. I watched that Matt Beal podcast you did. That was a good section. Got a little heated there, but that's a good question.
The debate one? Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. The carbon dating is okay. We know that there is some degree of inaccuracy to it. And I'm all for carbon dating. The only thing that I really have a problem with carbon dating when is it's when they start pushing it around like they did in that, like I was talking about with Matt Bell, where it's like, you know, the carbon dating ends up a couple hundred years off of where they say it should be, and they're going to be trying to shove the dates together. I'm going to have a problem with that when there's a debate. I don't have a problem with them using like the Bayesian modeling stuff, the way they use the math at the end to eliminate outliers, because carbon dating is like, you know, each carbon atom decays at its own rate. Like there's a half life that you get because half of them have decayed, but half of them haven't. That's the reason is because each one decays at its own rate. Like it's kind of random. So when they measure, the more accurate the device, the less amount of atoms that it needs to catch the decay of, you could end up with lesser. You can end up with less accurate dates. Like the more samples, the better, right? So they use Bayesian modeling to rein these random numbers in, because you end up with, like, it's like flipping coins 10,000 times. Eventually, you get averages. You can guess it's going to be around 5,000 each, right? Now you might be a little off, but once you get to those kinds of big numbers, you're not going to be off by much. If you only flip it 500 times, you might find yourself off by quite a bit larger percentage. So they use Bayesian modeling to rein these numbers in and stuff, and I don't have a problem with that. But when they use that kind of stuff where there's debates, it's where it's an area where it allows for fuckery. Just like I don't have a problem with people cashing out money at a casino, but if they're laundering money, that's an area that allows for fuckery. That's all. So I do more or less trust carbon dating, not implicitly, but I do. I don't think that there's just bullshit junk science. Rising Karu brought up the Stole My Bike meme. If you don't know that one, it's pretty hilarious. It's an old one, but it's the cut scene from Mike Tyson's Punch Out where Little Mac's chasing him on the bike and somebody's singing over the background, N-word stole my bike, N-word stole my bike. And now instead of training with Little Mac at the end of each Mike Tyson round, you're chasing the guy that stole your bike because of the song in the background. It's pretty horrible, but it's old YouTube. Old YouTube.
Well, I like the catch the wave Coca-Cola Max Headroom thing back there.
Oh, thank you.
Behind you. I don't know if people have, you know, noticed onto that, but I'm always like, I'm a big fan of Max Headroom.
Dude, they Max Headroom to fly. Have you seen that at all?
No.
Okay, really quickly for your audience, Max Headroom, the story is it's a futuristic world. Television networks control everything, even though they're still governments. It's all about ratings. There's a reporter. The reporter is really good at digging things up, and so he gets really great ratings because he's really good at investigating and finding corruption, but he's also doing it all the time for the company he works for. So he's a mixed bag. They don't like him getting into their shit, so they try to kill him and put his brain in a box so that they can still continue to get his ratings. Max Headroom's his brain in a box. Well, they recently took a fruit fly. Well, about 3 years ago, they took a fruit fly and sliced its brain into really thin strips and then, like, mapped out all of its neurons and shit, and that, like, sat for, like, a year, and they took this brain map of a fruit fly, stuck it into a physics engine, gave it a body and sensory input, and it immediately started walking on its own, flying on its own, looking for food, cleaning itself, running from shadows. Fucking Max Headroom to fly, man. And that had me just go, fuck me, all right? So is reality real or not? I don't know. That's a goddamn fly.
Do you remember in the 80s when somebody hacked WGN with the Max Headroom thing? That was epic right there. Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine being that guy right now. He might be like that What was the name of that guy who jumped out of the airplane?
Cooper. D.B. Cooper.
Yeah, D.B. Cooper. I mean, that's like epic right there with D.B. Cooper, whoever did that with the Max Headroom.
Yeah, they think he had to have like portable microwave equipment and maybe even an entire van. Like, there's like a lot of different theories about it, but like all of them point to like some expensive equipment and like the kind of thing you would see in a fucking movie. Like, dude pulls up Ocean's 11 style with his van and points it at the camera.
Like, goddamn, dude. It's probably old man builds. Probably old man builds. He's up there smiling. He's like, you know, like, I can see him doing it.
All the troll the people, man. It said nothing, right? It was like just a bunch of bullshit. It's funny.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of old man builds up there, he does a lot of testing and building Tesla coils and doing a lot of that stuff there. You know, I heard you talking, and he was in your chat the other day. I was watching, because I always watch your stuff while I work. I do woodwork, by the way. When I'm not on here, just running my mouth and acting like an idiot. But he was in there, you know, talking. Y'all were talking about the pyramids and stuff. You know, whether or not they were, I don't know, Nathan, take it away. You know what the hell I'm talking about.
Oh, he was talking about the one guy who was talking about the Tellaric current. And he was over there making fertilizer inside the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was just simple because, like, if you sit on top of the pyramid, right, you could take those jars and they'll fill up with energy, right? So you look at that and they're basically capacitors. You got ions that fill them up, right? What people don't really understand, because they didn't do the Tesla experiments to put the energy into the water table like he did in Colorado, is so basically anytime you do that, you create a what do we want to call it? Just forgetting the name right now. It's basically the circuit that always cancels everything out. So what you do is you put the energy in there and it breaks the magnetodielectric into ions. Okay, is what every cold energy experiment does. You know what I mean? Whether it's talking a geometry coil, whether you're talking a wire down the center of your Tesla coil, no matter what it is, you're breaking away the ion from the electron. So basically, when you're standing up there, you're just getting the energy from the atmosphere. It's a 100 volts per meter, right? But those are ions from the ionosphere. So what happens is, if you did the Colorado experiment, is you basically take that energy and you drop it into the water table. And as soon as it drops it into the water table, it makes everything energized when you put a light bulb into the ground, right? Well, that's pretty simple. When you go over there, all you have to do is take the wick effect to granite and it'll make all of that become active. And now all you have to do at that point is put the light bulb next to it. It makes a huge capacitor, and the more compression that you get on top of it, which is why the stones are so big, once you get all that compression in there, it creates energy on the inside that you can't get out, because now it's stuck in there. So I do the experiments here all the time. I put the energy into the water and I'm able to pull it off, and you could put your hands in there. You know what I mean? 60,000 volts of energy, I'm putting my hands in there with no problem whatsoever. You know what I mean? It's more than the skin effect, because of that, it's regular hot energy. But this isn't hot energy at all. It's ice cold. It's creating radiation is what it's creating. So yeah, it was just a total different thing, man. This is what I study all the time. So I do all the experiments. I reverse engineer everything. So if it's a Bedini device, I've reverse engineered it. Edwin Gray, I've reverse engineered it. Every single Tesla coil experiment, being able to start every single one across the room, you know what I mean, without a problem, just by the winding itself on those coils. I've done those experiments. Heck, I did a show when we did it on this channel. I do live experiments, man. I'll flat out take that Tesla coil, run into the water, put my hands in it.
I love watching them get shocked. It's amazing.
Dude, so energy is so different than people, what they actually think. And that's what I came out to prove. All cold energy experiments, I reverse engineer them till they're repeatable. And then I'll put them on my channel where you can see it. I'll do plasma physics right in front of you. You know what I mean? Show the energy exchanges and how they work, how the planetary systems work, how they build out atoms exactly perfect in a mechanical way without all the different words and word salad that you get to. Basically, I can prove out a lot of stuff that they say is debunked. All day long, I can prove it. You know what I mean? That's what I do on my channel. That's where I have fun. You know what I mean? Of course, yeah. I get shocked every once in a while, but I don't
think it's amazing. And he does wear nipple tassels every now and then while he does it. That was absolutely amazing as well. And don't let Nathan sell himself short there, too. He's actually a featured speaker at a Tesla Tech coming up and doing demonstrations there at Tesla Tech coming up here right around the corner. So that is super cool. Dan, I actually think, Dan, you should hook up with Nathan on some of those things. Like maybe I heard y'all talking about that. It would probably be to get somebody like him up there, you know what I mean, to talk about some of that stuff. It's pretty cool. He's a smart guy. I always tell him please explain it to me like I'm a retarded 14-year-old. you know what I mean? And he does a good job at that, and I still don't understand.
I created inertial mass reduction. That's why I go to Tesla Tech, because I literally took a piece of junk that they call a gravity flyer, and I made it lose 1.5 pounds on the scale just by knowing how the energy fields work. So that's what they want me to go there explain, because it's the actual field bubble physicists have been looking for the entire time. I found it.
Well, nice.
And it just came out to be magnetosphere, boundary layer, ionosphere. So when you put the ions on the other side of the magnetodielectric, you create a boundary layer, and it basically makes a real thick zone. And as soon as you do that, you can become anti-gravitational. It's really just gravity itself is all you're creating. So pretty interesting, man. I'll have that thing flying here soon, and then we'll really reset physics on how it's done.
Well, now you're going to get us all killed, so thanks for that.
I don't know this guy. I have no idea who he is, and I definitely use everything that runs off of oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If we don't hear from Nathan next week, we know why. He definitely got a visit from the Alphabet community. It was nice knowing you, Nathan.
I'm going to miss him.
Right, we are going to miss you. R.I.P. Pour one out for Nathan.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, I definitely check that stuff out. I try to look into as many things as I can, and try to take as much of an open mind approach to as many different things as I can. Like I said in my last video, when I was reviewing those alien artifacts, that they don't they just look a little bit too good to be true. But one of the things that I was saying when I in the videos, it's crazy. But if you're gonna actually look into something, either try to put your emotional response away or don't fucking bother. I mean, that's kind of like the whole point. Again, to return to what I was saying about science, why archaeology doesn't qualify. If you can't remove your biases from it, you're not really doing it scientifically. And I know that everybody's human, and so we're always going to have our biases. But I also know that like a cop is if I spit in the cop's face, he's probably not going to hit me for it, and if he wants to keep his job, he certainly won't hit me for it. But and so if you're the kind of person that can't handle getting spit in your face without swinging back, you probably shouldn't be a cop. If you're the kind of person that can't put your ego on your shelf, probably shouldn't be a fucking scientist, even if you're just LARPing as one, wearing a fancy hat. I got one of those fancy hats too. I can LARP as a scientist.
Do you have an Indiana Jones hat?
Oh yeah, I got right here. Yeah, I can wear it off my headphones.
He's going to come back morphed into Flint Dribble. I can feel it already.
Not completely.
Oh, you have a penis.
I'll put it on top. Yeah, I can go like that during the debate. He couldn't take his headphones off or the hat, so he just.
I know. I love the way he wears his hat on top of his headphones. That is definitely a very macho man move there.
I'm not exactly the paragon of. Let's put it this way: they don't call me when they're doing the fucking catwalks and shit. Vogue magazine doesn't usually cite my work, but I know better than to wear fucking a shirt that goes past my fucking fingers and then sleeves that go up to my forearms. I mean, Jesus, titty, fucking Christ, dude.
Now, see, I knew I was a fan of you when it was like, Pierce Morgan, something like that. You're up there on stage, everybody's wearing nice clothes. They're wearing their best outfit, and I'm like, dude's wearing a Carhartt fucking shirt. I'm like, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah, I'm a redneck. have been most of my life anyway. Dan right, has a flat ass. Stank, fuck you. It stinks. One of my supporters. I just pick on him.
Yeah, you've worked many job sites, so there's only three statements you need to know on a job site. It's I heard that looks good for my house, and Wait, what is the other one? Heard That Looks Good From My House. And shit, I can't think of the other one. What is it?
I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later. Man, I have to text my son, tell him, hey, bonehead, cut it out. I'm on a fucking live stream.
Yeah, I like when people text on when you're doing live, especially when they know you're live and they'll start asking you questions. I got a friend does that all the time. He's like, ask this, ask that. I'm like, son of a bitch, why don't you just put it in the chat?
Yeah, that one hurts, man, because I can't respond to text very well and the chat and the live discussion. But yeah, I've had that happen too. It's like, people send
me. Have you noticed in life, like, you know, we're all 39 here on the internet, but have you noticed in life, it seems like, you know, you get older and you need medicine. Somehow or another, all the writing on medicine bottles seems to be getting smaller. So it's like you go and you're like having to take pictures of stuff and then zoom in on it with your phone. I think that's the best invention on a phone, just so I can read how many Tylenols I'm supposed to take.
I think it's just because you're getting older.
Hush your mouth, lady. You hush your mouth. So Dan, so what do you think about the, what do you think about like with the pyramids and stuff? I know you like to talk about pyramids. What do you think about, like, the age of them? I mean, like where do you put yourself into that?
Well, definitely most of it was, there's a massive amount of it that was done around when they say they were. I think the groundwork was done a lot long. I think those sites were sacred much longer ago, and I think the Sphinx is the linchpin for the whole site. If you know the Egyptian mythology, they believed in a primordial mound piercing the floodwaters at the beginning of creation. And if you were on the Giza Plateau in the Green Sahara period, you could wade up to the outcrop of rock that would eventually become the Sphinx. So you could wade up to that rock, and so you've got this rock that's aligned with the rising sun and that's coming out of the waters. I think that this rock was their initial primordial mound. And I think that's why they carved indentation into the ground, the enclosure. I don't think it was to facilitate them carving paws as this got carved over the years. I think that this was done so that as the Sahara dried, they could still get water in there, so that it was still a ceremonial water, rock, sky site. And I think that's why it got abandoned when they couldn't get water into it anymore. And that's why the Egyptians, when they come back, because they didn't know what to do with it anymore because it was lost. So I think the Sphinx was the linchpin for the site. And I think the pyramids and everything else, I think that all, I believe that was all laid out a long time ago. I think that the archaeoastronomy data supports that. Although I will point out, there is a guy who does the archaeoastronomy on it that believes that it was a fourth dynasty date, according to his data. The jury's out, right? But I do think that I don't think the pyramids were built a long, long, long time ago, but I think that the groundwork was done. Some of it was done there. I mean, you would really have to kind of rip the things down in order to see. It's just like any other building. If you wanted to, like, see different levels, different times of construction, you kind of got to rip through the building. And for some fucking reason, they frown on that.
I think if they find a labyrinth anywhere in there, it destroys the whole timeline because it's too much work to get done. If that labyrinth is huge, you know what I mean? The massive amount of work ruins the timeline for building a pyramid within, 30 years?
Yeah, no, it's, they're 27 years is what they've been trying to say lately. It's always been 20 to 30 years all my life. And it's, you know, I mean, I've always called that the gateway drug to becoming a pyramidiot. It's like, you go tell some guy who's got a tool belt, yeah, they built that in 27 years. Which bridge are you selling me, brah? It's fucking, yeah. Come on.
Right, stupid. See, I have trouble believing that, too. I'm along the lines, I think we've had civilizations come and go, come and go, come and go. I've always kind of leaned towards that, you know, and the more I watch. I mean, if you were like a wandering nomadic tribe after some kind of thing and you came across a Sphinx and some pyramids, I mean, you'd move in. You would be like, holy cow, you know. And Lord knows, like right now, we could have a catastrophic thing happen to us right now. And in 1,000 years, you wouldn't even know we were here. It would be, you know, completely buried. It would be completely gone. I love the new, like, LIDAR scanning and stuff. I mean, down in the Amazon, I mean, the stuff they're finding now is fascinating. I think with all our new technology, we're going to find so much more that we didn't even know was there. And it's going to kind of have to change what we've learned and what we've been indoctrinated to accept as facts.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that's happening right now, that they're being forced to reevaluate things. You know, Göbekli Tepe was a big example of that. It's funny how they just try to act like there's no big deal now, and it's like it's really interesting because it's all these guys that are actually 39. It's like, yeah, you don't remember when the very clear, very distinct timeline of human evolution was: we invent farming, we create surplus of food, then we build structures. That was the way it had been in the books for fucking a long ass time, and then this comes and turns it on its ear, and then it's like, oh yeah, you get these guys that are a generation younger. Oh yeah, it's always, you know, they were always expected to be like this. It's like, no, dude, this fucking, it rewrote the basic evolution of the civilization. The history of civilization was rewritten. Here, I got to address a couple of super chats here. The first one is the best super chat that I've had in a while, even though it's not $1 million, Major Dick Bone. But have you looked into many glory holes, Dan? Fuck yeah. Flint Dibble had his side chick was in a glory hole, and I looked into it, and I rejected her and ran away. And sorry, pagan Christian mathematician. I know that makes you sad, but no, I just took her Twitter profile pic, which is just a circle, right? So I just posted and don't ever look into a glory hole.
No, see, I thought that was hilarious. I mean, I read that one earlier. I actually saw it earlier, and I was like, "Holy cow!" You know, that was a pretty good burn there. Who was that lady? Just somebody trolling you?
No, that's Flint's side chick. She's an Egyptologist that I used to call her by her name, but she called me a misogynist once because I told her "licus my proboscis," and she's like, "I'm a woman, you don't talk to me like that." So since I have to treat her differently, since she's a woman, and since I'm a misogynist, she doesn't have a name. She's Flint's side chick, clearly, because she's a girl Egyptologist, fucking token hire. I mean, clearly. So, you know, I mean, I assume that she works at a glory hole. I assume when she did the video with Flint that she, you know, she had to send him nudes for it. But since he's gay, he probably threw him away. But, you know, I mean, you want me to play the fucking devil? All right, dude, get my fucking pitchfork, bitch. Let's go.
So she like does her night job at a Love's truck stop. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. In Egypt, no less.
Right.
For Turkish tobacco.
Right, exactly. Oh, she likes them uncircumcised.
Oh, oh, man. Gross.
Get a little bit of that extra
turkey neck. Okay,
turkey.
Nobody likes Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Mr. Snuffleupagus coming out to say hi. Oh my God! Too bad. Yeah, you got another one here. You want to address? You know.
Oh yes, rising karmic civilizations. They come and go. Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem believing that there's been more civilizations on the earth than we give it credit for. You know, these things would get ground up and whatnot. And I don't think that the technology. I think the technology's been. You know, electricity is one thing that's easy to harness, but there's a lot of other things that are easy enough. There's a lot of things that could be harnessed that, you know, you look throughout time, and it's possible that there's a lot of different things, you know, that we don't know. Like, one of my favorite examples of this is how the idea of sacred geometry is retard shit to most people. Oh, really? You draw a picture, and then you make the picture a certain way, and I'll think... Magic shapes. Good job. Magic shapes. That's great, man. But, I mean, you remember the cell phones we had in the 90s with the big-ass long antennas? Well, they have fractal antennas now. And fractal antennas are little wafers, but they're fractals. And they get more different, a better bandwidth and better range. And they don't have to be as long. It's a magic fucking shape. All right? So to me, it's like the possibilities are almost endless as to what could be in the past. It's just like you have to really, once you go down a certain direction, you're off and down that direction, right? So, excuse me. Okay, I paid you more this time. Now stroke my ego. God damn it, Major Dickbone. Nobody with a name like Major Dickbone is allowed to ask me to stroke any part of them. No offense. At least not for that amount of money. You got to start putting zeros at the end of that, buddy, and then catch me at the bar. No, I'm not begging for more money, Major Dickbo. Thank you. I appreciate the super chat for the joke. That's good stuff. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Oh, geez. You got all kinds of fans in here, man. I mean, this is absolutely awesome. You know, thanks all you guys out there supporting Dan.
Subscribe to these channels here, guys. I'm definitely going through and subscribing to everybody here in the stuff afterwards. I've subscribed to Travelers, but I didn't subscribe to the Traveling Fools, but I didn't subscribe to anybody else yet because I didn't realize it was going to be a whole herd of us.
Right, exactly. We kind of do this, like we said, a whole herd of us. Yeah, we do this as a fun thing, like a collaboration. You know, a bunch of, you know, I think we related ourselves to being like the crew from the gang from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We're probably the most horrible human beings on the face of the earth, but for some reason or another, we all seem to get along. So yeah, thanks everybody for being out there. Hope you, you know, can put up with us for a little bit longer. So what I want to know, Dan, I got another question coming in for me. What about the columns under the pyramids? What's your take on that?
Well, that's, you know, the synthetic aperture radar stuff. You know, at first I was a lot more hopeful than I am now. It's unfortunate, but it's just been so... They keep doing these scans. They keep giving us more data, but they keep, like, nothing gets followed through. And so I'm starting to be concerned that the technology isn't as good as what they're saying. I don't know, the synthetic aperture radar, I covered it in a video. The synthetic aperture radar is like the fidelity on it's gone up massively since we started using computers, and you know, they're using AI to basically, what they're doing is they're measuring the differences in topography. So they'll use multiple scans of the same place, and they'll say these rocks and dirts have moved these ways, and if a rock is over a tunnel, the dirt and rocks move differently than dirt and rocks over solid ground. That's the idea. And then they use AI to piece it all together. I'm not fundamentally opposed to the idea. I just am at this point, it's kind of like I've been waiting too long. It's like a Kickstarter that I gave him money 2 years ago, and it's like, just fucking publish the game already, you cocksuckers. That's where I'm at.
Sorry. Right. I hate when they tease these things like that. You know, yeah, give me the data, give me something.
Right.
So if these things are down there, I mean, what do you think the purpose is for them?
Well, I mean, it would be tough to say. If, you know, if they had some huge technological society going on back then, you know, it would be interesting. Definitely would be interesting. It would be tough to say. It would be part of some sort of power plant or some sort of underground city. I mean, if these are all stairways going down around each individual column and stuff, I mean, you know, maybe it's all like escape stuff from... Well, a comet hitting the earth or stuff, but you know, I honestly at this point I'm pretty skeptical. I probably would put these in the like the 5% to 10% probability range of being real at this point at best. For one thing, like remember when they did their first scans and they had like five Keynes chambers in one of the pyramids, right? And that's
yeah,
that was,
yeah, 100%.
I think that right off the bat is like a problem with the AI, the same as you get 10 thumbs on certain things and shit. You see, Ryzy's on board. I was actually saying that before we got on here, man. That we were in the before party. I was talking about how, because the implication, Dave is going to be posting some retraction.
It's going to be definitely the implication. Definitely the implication. So tombstones, you're up there. I know you had some questions about the elongated skulls and stuff like that. Do you want to jump into that? And you want to ask Dan about any of that?
Well, you called me out. We were totally talking about something else.
It's like a deer in the headlights up here, you know.
I would like to change the conversation to the elongated skulls because I find it completely fascinating. Like, I just got wrapped up in it. Like, I was looking up in it, everything. I really get into the old burial practices, especially Native Americans, and then to find out there's all this stuff that is being hidden that we never even knew about. So yeah, I would love to hear more about it.
Well, yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just want to one of the more interesting things is the way that it's been covered up. The elongated skulls are like up where I live. If you get to the Cascade Mountains, which is about a 2-hour drive west of me, you get to the Cascade Mountains, and when Lewis and Clark got here, they reported that all of the natives west of the Cascades were known as flatheads by the natives east. And they all had different, they modified their skulls. There's a book that I had, the Smithsonian Institute book that was put out on the Chinook chief, Concomly, who Lewis and Clark had dealings with. And it was called the Chinook Sign of Freedom, because if you were a freeborn native, you did this to your kids. If you were slave, you weren't allowed to modify your kid's skull. And so this was ubiquitous. This was everywhere. And you would find the graves that they would have would be raised up off the ground, and they'd have a canoe, and they would put the person in there with their grave goods and stuff, and they just let the elements have at them. And if they were rich, they'd cover them with a second canoe. But the point was, they would put them in an island or on a big outcrop of rock that predators couldn't get to them easily, and then they would raise them up off the ground, and basically they would stay that way until they fell in the ocean, until they fell in the river. This was gone on, we don't even know how long, but it went on for a really long time. And these that phrenology I was talking about earlier, just for our audiences, it's the measurement of like the bumps and bones and shape of a skull, and the idea that it has to do with how smart you are or your attributes. So Leonardo DiCaprio goes off about it on Django Unchained at the table when he's playing with the bumps on the skull and being all racist. So anyway, this was a huge science, huge field of study, much like archaeology. It was, you know, a field of study that used some science and a bunch of bullshit. But anyway, it caused a craze for these skulls. So all people were like, that Concomly chief, his skull was cut off about 3 years after he died, and he was like super cool with white people, but it didn't stop him from looting his ass like just not long after he died. So these skulls were like sold all over the place. And it's amazing to think about now, because they were so ubiquitous, and now it's almost impossible to find any record of a people. Wandering Wolf, his producer, Sammy Lee, was on, she went to school for that stuff, like for Native American studies at the University of Oregon, right fucking there where the shit was going on. They didn't teach her anything about it.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that to me screams cover up.
And Chief Concomly, his skull didn't it end up in like England? I think it ended up in England, and then it only within recent years was returned.
Yeah, it was like 1960. Well, was repatriated.
Unknown grave now, because they don't want probably people going and digging it up.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I understand,
you know,
why they want to keep things secret.
Well, yeah,
white people suck.
You're all right. If you're an Indian, that's like you're trying to keep these things safeguarded. You get it given back to you, and you're like, man, you are fucking all right, honky. Thanks. I hope your kid's the same. You'll forgive me if I don't tell you where I hide this.
Yeah,
don't know how your kid's gonna be, right? So, but Ruby,
yeah, and Tom Connolly didn't eat.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would say how much Tom Connolly liked the white men coming there. He even married off some of his daughters, wasn't it? To some of the fur traders. It's just like, and then he dies and they cut off his head. I'm like, well, yeah, thank you.
Well, yeah, it was, it was horrible. It was really, one of the Memaloose Islands, the main one, at early 1900s, they found a dude that had been looting that place. They found him like staked out on the ground, where they'd skewered him through the belly and let him die slow, like tied him to the ground and stabbed him in the guts and walked away, because he'd been looting that place for like a few days. I want to address these guys really quick. Rubate said, without proof, SARS is just a brand noun novel, and that is very true, my friend. She likes some long rising car, you sick fuck. I haven't buried a bone for ages, says Major Dick Bone. God, sorry, guys. My chat's a bunch of crazy motherfuckers. Rihanna? Who the fuck's Rihanna?
Oh, my God.
Great
yeah,
Gus.
Yeah, shout out there. I'll do that. Great Gus. I guess you're a Gus now. I think she meant to say guest. Great guest, TF. You rock. You are a Gus now. Better than a Sasquatch taint, I guess. But yeah, definitely. Thank you very much,
Better
Rihanna.
Than a fart.
Sasquatch taint. That's awesome. I'd put it on everything.
I know you should probably change your name. Sticker.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
I want a bumper sticker says Sasquatch chain on it.
Oh, I'm probably gonna get the shirt on it. There's no way. Tattoo.
You know, you could probably sell those. You could put your head. They've already done the work for you. They put your head on, you know, the thing. You could just start selling T-shirts that has your head on Sasquatch, and you can put like Sasquatch chain.
Make money off them.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let them do the work for you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I love it.
Oh,
so what do you think about like Darren Kuyu? You know. What do you think that was actually used for?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think that honestly, I think there's a really good chance that it was like a defensive place. You know, the problem with Darren Kuyu, and this is a real serious problem with a site like this, and this is where archaeology can't really say fuck all about a site like that, is the oldest places, it's the opposite of normal. The oldest places are the top. That's the one that was carved out a kajillion years ago. The bottom layer is the earliest one that was carved out, right? So the oldest layers are the easiest to access. So they're the easiest to have been modified over time. They're the ones that are certainly devoid of any original artifacts at this point. So like they go and they dig down. They're like going around. They're like, oh, we found some Byzantinian Christian artifacts in one of these layers. It must be Byzantinian Christian. Clearly the fucking thing's older than that, man. Clearly. We can't, there's times you can just say, I don't know. And this is like, we don't know how old the site is. And that right there makes it really interesting. This thing could be ancient as piss. We don't know. You know,
They find it like some guy was just like going to remodel his, you know, basement or something like that.
Knocked a hole in the wall.
Right. Knocks a hole in the wall and he finds this. I mean, that's fascinating.
It is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And it shows like where they were cooking there. You know, there's from the smoke and the thing, and there's all these like vents coming out of it up into the earth. Obviously, this was used for something. I mean, did they really manage to? I mean, like, how old is this supposed to be?
Yeah, not very old. I mean, I think it's just a few thousand years, like 1,500 years old or something like that. They're basing it on the artifacts that they find there, and like, you know. Let's put it this way. If you take a site like imagine just for argument's sake that Mount Rushmore was made 10,000 years ago. Because it's stone, if you were to date it based on the garbage that's there, you're going to date it to being now. You know, we don't have any way of dating this except for the stuff that was left behind. And the stuff that was left behind, it's not buried. It's just laying there, right? It's fucking in the cave. So, I mean, there's really can't know much about this site. It's unfortunate, but like, if they had done like some serious archaeology when they first found the place and whatnot, maybe. But even then, it's like you got thousands of years potentially. If this thing was dug 10,000 years ago, there's no way we can prove it now. Not short of finding something,
right?
And good fucking luck again on the first floor is where that would be, and the first floor has been picked clean by the most, right? So it's, you know. Anyway,
no, I find this to be like a fascinating site.
I do too. It's one of the things that's funny is the idea that it would be protection against a flood is probably not good. But
yeah, you're not going underground for that, right?
But the idea that this is a site that is supremely ancient that people have been going back to, that people in that area have found over and over and over again and reused over and over because that is a pretty inhospitable area. That, I mean, it honestly makes a lot of sense. And this is the kind of stuff that really fucks me up with the mainstream, where it's like, why is that insane? Why, say, for instance, this has been, hominids have been using that for 200,000 years, and they dug in this very soft stone that you could dig out with any rock you could find laying around there, that some other species dug this thing out 100,000 years ago, and it's been slowly being used by different species over all this time. And the very first thing they do when they move in is they clean house, so they get rid of all the trash from the. this isn't crazy, right? This isn't like I'm not positing ancient high technology or anything, but that's going to get rejected just as categorically. Professor Dave will call me a akin to a flat earther, right? This is this is where they have cock blocked themselves from moving forward.
Well, that's when you know their argument is weak. That no matter what people are talking about, they throw that flat earther out there.
Oh yeah. Shoots and ladders, hardcore in real life. That's what Isaac Carter says about Darren Kuyu, right? It does look like a shoots and ladders game. All right,
it does. That. Snakes and ladders. Give away your age. Snakes and ladders. Remember, it was originally that snakes and ladders.
Yeah,
what a great game!
It's just a giant man cave, is what it is. It just keeps growing to get away from the water.
Right, the guy had to keep digging, right, Nathan? He just had to keep digging and digging.
Every time, my favorite story.
That is, it's so funny too, because I actually worked for a dude in Illinois. Like me and my uncle were doing construction for the guy, and like he's a rich guy, and so he builds a cigar smoking man cave on this barn that was on their property. He spends all this money to have his barn turned into this man cave, and then his wife says it's too nice, he shouldn't be smoking his cigars in there. So then he goes and builds a screen porch that's really nice. Same fucking thing happens again. She's like, this is way too nice. Shouldn't be smoking. So, yeah. And Darren Kuyu, you just kept having to dig another level down, too.
That's right.
Please, fuck. Where do I have to go to smoke my fucking cigars?
And finally, you end up in hell and realize you could have just stayed.
It was no different than when you started. Like,
this is a full circle. We've come full circle. Yeah, you know, we're right back to where we started. Okay, I've dug this deep. So what do you think about, okay, I know we're going to wrap this thing up pretty quick. I know you got stuff you got to do this evening, go out and have some fun without, you know, hanging out with us. But so what do you think about like Gunung Padang and, you know, over in Indonesia and stuff?
Gunung Padang's really interesting. I want to see them do some archaeology when they're there next time. The big thing that we don't have from there is trash, right? When the carbon dating that Dr. Hillman got was from potentially from organics that had fuck all to do with humans. There's arguments about the fill layers. There's arguments about whether or not certain pieces are artifacts or not. Where honestly, what they need to do is just kind of get in a bunch of mainstream dickheads in there and shake screens. It's find the debitage, find the little pieces of trash that prove that this place was occupied or not. And that's the kind of stuff that even the experts can't really argue with, because when you start pulling out hundreds of little pieces of broken rock that they're like, well, this came off of somebody making an arrowhead, it's the evidence is overwhelming. But that's what they didn't shake any screens on that site. And so that's it's one of the problems I have with a lot of things we see in modern times. Like there's the same thing happening down in Mexico right now with that Atzlan collection, where there's nobody down there that's not concerned with the artifacts themselves. There's no.
Now, is that the thing you were talking about recently on your show with the with like the engravings and stuff on the stuff they found? Is that what you're talking about, Mexico?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting. It's interesting that these different places around the world, like. It's frustrating because you find something, it's cool and it's interesting, but without some confirmation, it becomes really difficult to go any further. And so that's why we kind of need that screen shaking around the bat. Yes, that is me advocating for archaeology. I will advocate. Just because I don't call it a science doesn't mean it's worthless. Jesus.
Right, as you should. I mean, we should all advocate for archaeology. I mean, that's we should just advocate for archaeology that keeps moving forward.
So you want to check David Todd's comment here? Because we'll go ahead and put that on screen if you don't mind, because this one does salient for when, before you hop off.
Gotcha, Darren Kuyu.
Thank you. It's Darren Kuyu's near Ararat and near the elevation you want to restart civilization. It would hold 20,000 aristocrats, leaders, soldiers, carpenters, blacksmiths, like you know what race they were, physicians, farmers, seed banks, equipment, etc. No, that's an interesting point, David. No, thank you. It's it is possible. It is possible that it was that kind of place that was meant to be restarted like that. One really quick point I want to make that's a little aside, but we were talking about that whole race thing. When they say that, you know, the only reason that we question who built the pyramids is because they're supposedly built by brown people and therefore we're all racists. And, you know, this is pretty just it's a stupid argument. It's vapid. It's just clearly made to be the manufactured bullshit. So the way you flip this back on them, well, I got what I got. One that's equally lazy. It's better. It's a better argument. The Atlantis is supposed to be 12,500 years ago when it was destroyed. The gene that created white people came into the record about 8,000 years ago. Archaeologists reject Atlantis because they don't believe you can have a civilization without white people. All right, there we go. No problem. This fucking they're the racist ones now. So anyway, it's stupid, but it's like if we're really going to play these sorts of games, then I mean, we can always find a reason to call somebody a name. We can always find a reason to call somebody racist. I prefer to talk about the big rocks and the elongated skulls and the ancient history and the myths. But
was that your smoke alarm that just beeped?
I don't know. I don't have a smoke alarm. I took the batteries out all 9 years ago.
Sounds like LW. But had to chirp that one in there.
You know, a little dig there. I live in California, man. Nothing here is built by white people. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not a job site with a white person on it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Right. I mean, you know, we could go down that whole rabbit hole, and trust me, I love going down it. There's obviously an agenda there that they push constantly on us. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being who you are. I love to travel. Well, one of these things I can't stand, like if I want to go to Mexico, I want to see Mexico. I want to like absorb myself in a Mexican culture. If I want to go to Thailand, I want to absorb myself in Thai culture. If I want to go to Ghana, which Lord knows I don't, I would want to, you know, absorb myself into gonorrhea. But it's not, you know, what I want to do. But I can't stand that when they try to make everything the same, take away, you know, everything. I was watching, you know, it was Sweden. I think it was Sweden playing soccer the other day. And I was watching the first 30 minutes. I didn't know which team was Sweden.
Wow. Well, you know, I do have to say I'm disappointed you were watching soccer.
I love soccer. Well, you hold it against me if you want to, but I played.
I can't hold it against you if you like soccer. I mean, I have to stay away from you.
No, all right, I'll call it football, and we'll meet in the middle somewhere.
There you go.
I felt Dan so bad for that Freddy friend. Guy. What is that, Gutters? I'm sorry.
Dan is definitely my friend.
Right. No, I felt so bad for that Freddy guy. You know, it was traveling around. I've been watching him, you know, the guy from Germany over here doing that. And he was like saying, you know, wow, the United States is such a cool place. We're going and we're seeing all this new stuff. Everybody's so hospitable. We're doing this. And then some asshole, of course, has to go on there and find some old tweet that he put out saying, you know, something about the, you know, racism and it can be against whites too and blah, blah, blah. They got to dig up some old tweet. Imagine being that insufferable of a person where you have to go search somebody's entire Twitter account to find something to call them out on and ruin them. The guy deleted his Twitter account.
Yeah, that's insane. It's infuriating. It's a sad part of it. Like, I try to empathize with it because, you know, like I was saying before we started, I've been online for so long that I've got a pretty thick skin to this stuff. I mean, I was online long before grandmas were running around and angry tweens telling us what we could and couldn't say. So I was getting called all the names in the books before I was a teenager, right? And
he's back there fighting with people on MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace. Fuck, no, bulletin board services in the 80s when they were.
Was there something back then? I didn't even know there was.
Oh, yeah. You had to have an AOL account.
That's impressive. I'm not going to lie.
You're the youngest 39-year-old on here.
I am the youngest 39-year-old there is.
In the old days, you'd hook one computer up. You get the software for a bulletin board service. You hook one computer up to a phone line. So you'd pay for two phone lines to your home, and then other people could call your one computer with their one computer. They'd leave a message. Your computer's up and running 24/7.
Your parents had money to do that?
They had an Apple IIc. We had an Apple IIc. We were not rich. We had an Apple IIc, and my dad got a modem, and I was...
He was into it.
Well, here's the thing. There's a part of the community that was very quickly. Do you remember the calling cards? Do you guys remember those when you'd have the little?
Oh yeah.
These things in the modem days when everything was long distance, unless you called somebody local. you would go to pages that would just be giving away calling card numbers. And so you find this shit really quick when you're a kid. And so I was, yeah, all over for free.
Wow.
Very. Oh, yeah. The old days. There's a bulletin board service documentary on YouTube that covers a lot of this kind of stuff there. It's a little bit romanticized. But yeah, anyway. Yeah. So I've been online longer than most of these people. It was much longer.
Crazy.
A good decade before a lot of those people's like parents were trying to decide what to do with the broken condom. So it's not really a problem when they call me names, but I understand that other people it's super problematic for. But
wow.
Yeah, KJ probably doesn't remember that.
Yes, I do. Obviously,
sound
I remember that.
You would
that.
Have to go through, you know, when you would hear like connected
but
to
I
the
didn't,
internet.
Like I didn't realize there was already some, which I should have, but
yeah, there was like we were there was a lot of people in Spokane. There was a pretty big community. I wasn't one of them, but I was aware of them. They called themselves modemers, and they were all like online role playing game aficionados. I mean, when AOL, like AOL was AOL and what was the other one? I forget. But anyway, two of the big early online service providers. Well, I don't think it was Apogee, but oh, it's going to drive me nuts. But there was two of the really big ones that were, two of the big online service providers were around in the early days of the bulletin board services. And what they would do is use computers. They would use money, and they'd have multiple computers running the same bulletin board, multiple phone lines. So it's as close to the internet as you could get. But then the internet just kind of like centralized everything, and now you can just it's a whole lot different.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you used to get like those free like days. Little cards. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, LW. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say those were rough days. It used to take like 25 minutes to download a picture of Christie Brinkley. It's rough.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, I know I'm gonna see her. We're at her feet. Oh my god. Oh, the knees are coming. The knees are almost there.
Oh
you know?
My gosh, y'all. And then
here's the virus. Off her feet. Here's the
That's
virus.
Hilarious.
Yeah, now we have a virus. This is great. Oh shit! I gotta go get that other, you know, AOL gift card or whatever. You know, you'd have those stupid little cards where you could get the extra credits. Yeah, That's funny. It was absolutely horrible. Yeah. Absolutely horrible.
Wow.
Yeah, the one guy invented a thing called FidoNet in like the late '80s, and this was where they were different. It was the beginning of nodes, and there was different bulletin board services that would be nodes, and you could send an email around the world in about a day. And this was fucking
whoa, right.
Huge. But yeah, that's
absolutely awesome. So anybody got any last questions for Dan while he's up here? Anybody?
Well, I just really enjoyed the conversation. I really like you guys and like Graham Hancock. I saw him last week. He very reasonable people use logic and like he said, he's like, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about everything, but you know, I just want to be a part. Why can't I be a part of the conversation? That's the biggest thing that I like about you guys.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a kind of a frustrating thing that, like, if you look at the beginning, the founding principles of the Society for American Archaeology, and they say that they want to foster better relations between interested amateurs and professional archaeologists, and to offer assistance when requested to these amateurs, and they violate both of these things. And this is why they're like it's not the only reason, but when they're closing archaeology departments and archaeologists like Flint Dibble are losing their jobs, it's like, dude, you guys could be using Atlantis like Carl Sagan did aliens, a way to educate the public. Carl Sagan didn't believe in fucking little green men all over the place like the people he talked to did, but he used it to reach the public. And instead they knee-jerk and they're like, oh, do you have an interest in something that's in my field? Let me see if I can't just kill that fucking fire. And then they wonder why nobody shows up to their fucking talks. It's So yeah, thanks. It's kind of sad that they ostracize the people they could be working with. But instead,
yeah, makes no sense. Yeah.
So Dan, what is this event you got coming up? Because I'm actually interested in this. I do like to travel. There is something in the name there. What is this event you got coming up?
It's, the Quest for Ancient Civilization is going to be a big talk in Austin, Texas, this October 16th through 18th. So far, like there's speakers that are, some speakers are still to be announced because there's a lot of people that are potentially going to be there. But me, Randall Carlson, David Childress, Billy Carson, Hugh Newman, J.J. Ainsworth. Oh, shit. I don't know if Luke Caverns is going to be there. Now, there's going to be a bunch of us types there babbling about pyramids and whatnot for a few days. And it's going to be in Austin, Texas, which if you're not familiar, it's kind of the mecca for the podcast, goofy comedian Joe Rogan sphere spot in the internet right now, or of publishing content right now. So it's a pretty fun town to kick it in. And yeah. So it's definitely worth going to just to here's the thing. I have figured out that if people want to see me talk on the internet, they can listen to two ads for some fucking mobile game and bada bing, bada boom. If they want to see me in person, they're probably wanting to rub elbows with me and drink. So you'll find me at these events pretty much sleeping 6 hours a day tops and rolling like I'm in my 20s and then regretting it when I get home. So
right. Nice. See, I'd rather go out and have a beer.
I feel that. That's good.
Well, LW, you're not too far from there, LW. What do you say we try to make it over there to that event?
Yeah, it's just 2 hour drive, 2.5 hour drive. Yeah,
I know. Hey, hell, I'll fly into your shithole town there that I've been to before. shout out to the $7,000 hot dog you made me buy you at the Astros game. But definitely, we can drive over there and go check that out.
Tickets are like $250. There's a link in my in the description of my video to it. But yeah, it's pretty reasonable for an event like this. It's not like a lot of times you'll end up seeing these things at closer to $1,000 a ticket. And as a former blue collar dude,
yeah,
you charge a $1,000 ticket, that better come with a set of lips attached to it,
right? At least a reach around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanted to whisper in my ear to tell me I'm smoking in the wrong room. That's for damn sure.
Exactly. Oh shit! I'm at the Blue Oyster now.
All right, I got to address Major Dickbone here. He says I used to have a thick skin until my bar mitzvah. Please don't hate me, Professor Dave. What a circumcision joke and a anti-Semite joke. That's great.
Yeah, you get a bunch of new memberships coming in there as great. Well.
Old saggy guy, look at you go. You ain't bad. Appreciate that. I got a bunch of. What's great is when I get a bunch of
picture.
I get a bunch of people that subscribe to me that are like Dave fans that hate me. So every time I get these gifted memberships, I do with one or two people that are members that hate me. I just love it.
They have to just totally be pissed off. They get that email. You were gifted a membership to. D-dunking.
A lot of times they act like they're bumping into, like running into my safe space or something. It's like, come on now. The fuck? It's the internet,
The whole safe space things. There's even like, I've looked at like, there's a gas station that I stop at every now and then. I realized not too long ago, I go over there and I look and there's actually a whole area that is like, this is a safe space. And it says that outside. I mean, Jesus Christ, what has gone wrong with these people? Now, you want a safe space? Look at my glove box. I'll definitely give you one.
You're the one that fucking the one that kills me is the military is what got me when they said they could hand their drill sergeant's cards that said this is problematic or this is offensive or whatever.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, my Lord.
I bet that is happening.
Well, yeah, that's what I've heard anyway. And when I was in basic training, like I enlisted like a few months after Don't Ask, Don't Tell had gotten passed. And so I'm in the Army, and whenever the drill sergeants wanted to insult somebody, you're one of those Don't Ask, Don't Tell privates, aren't you? Literally asking you to tell. The policy is called Don't Ask. And fucking,
hope that's not true about the cards.
I've heard that it is, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've seen so many videos of cell phones, like you earn cell phone time.
Right.
In basic training, which that what? Just, yeah.
That was like not, yeah. No, that just, is true. No. Yeah.
You get to film bullshit. Your training.
I'm sorry.
You film your bearing. Oh, dude. Yeah.
KJ, you've known a few drill sergeants in your life. Yeah, I'm
that is
sure.
True. But that was even 10 plus years ago. Where you could earn time. Yeah,
they've gayed up everything. It's it's just insufferable.
No more of the Emory, huh?
Hang on, I'm going to ask Marine this. I'll be right back. I'm going to go ask a Marine.
No full metal jacket going on there, huh?
right, exactly.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, but what was the answer, Dan? Didn't want to ask you not to tell that. What was the answer? I didn't tell. Clearly. Like that Norm MacDonald bit.
He's like, I'm just following the rules, guys. I'm just following the rules.
Dan, that is one of my favorite bits. I'm deeply closeted.
Yeah, Norm is like, I'm a deeply closeted gay man. It's like, what? So you're homosexual? No! Who told you that? No. I was like, deeply closeted. I'm not gay at all. I'm deeply closeted. Stop. Leave me alone. Hey, buddy. That was dude, Norm was the best. His fucking dry humor. Still one of my favorite bits is when he like leads Conan on and on for like 15 minutes. He's telling a joke about how his grandpa is a miner and the only person to have sex with in the mining camps wasn't a woman. It was Andy Richter, Conan's associate, right? And he's like, so finally, my grandpa's fed up. This is like, it's like 15 minutes. Finally, my grandpa's fed up, and he comes up. He's like, all right, I'll do it, but we can't tell anybody else. And he's like, well, at least four people will know. I'll know. You'll know. Andy will know. And the guy that helps me hold Andy down will know. And so everybody's laughing, but not really hard because it's been 15 fucking minutes for basically a stupid joke. But Norm, he just laughs really hard. And he goes, you get it, Andy? You're not gay. You were raped. Okay, Conan just throws it to the end. God fucking damn it.
That is so wrong, dude. Norman was wrong, but he was
Was it that other one, Dan? it was like a 5-minute joke, the moth joke, where he just goes on and on and on for like 5-6 minutes.
It's on, the light was on.
Yeah. All to get to the punchline because the light was on.
Yeah, well, why are you here? Oh, because the light was on.
Yeah, he was great. He was absolutely great. I miss the humor. I mean, like, imagine trying to make Blazing Saddles, you know, today. And it's, I watched it not too long ago. I saw it on TV, and they were, like, you know, blurping out words.
It's just so good. It's just so good.
Horses.
They're all the
words. Horses. Horses. Oh my God. Oh. This is so great. And Richard Pryor co-wrote it. You know, I miss the 80s and 70s and the comedy and the fun.
That was Eddie Murphy, God. All his.
But we're all 39, folks. So we're good. All 39.
Right.
Well, Dan Richards, Dan, man, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on. You know, like I said, I've been a big fan for a long time, been following what you do. You know, keep doing your awesome stuff, man. It's absolutely amazing. Thanks for coming up, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I really appreciate it. We'll definitely have to do it again soon. This has been a lot of fun. I do like to get together with people and do these kinds of chats and, you know, cross the streams, as they say. I'll make sure and go around and I should be able to find links to everybody in the Traveling Fools page. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go back. I'm going to add. I didn't know exactly where we were going to go, so I'm going to update the you know, the details on the video, add some links in there. Sweet. And we're about to go through. We're going to let everybody tell everybody, you know, where they can find them at and do that kind of jazz. Let's go ahead. Let's start out. Tombstones. Tombstones' new channel over here, Super Sweetheart. We absolutely love her coming up on here. She's got a new channel. What are you, Tombs? About 25 away from getting monetized and, you know, being a thing. Tell everybody, come on, where can they find you at?
Yeah, come on, guys. Help me get some of that YouTube money.
another grifter.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a ginger. I'm a grifter. I can't help it. Yeah, Friday nights you can find me here on Abby Normal, and during the week I'm haunting some cemetery. And yeah, check out my shorts on YouTube.
Yeah, all you got to do is type in Tombstones.
I was like, what shorts?
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Exactly. Daisy Dukes. Daisy Dukes. Y'all get over there. They're definitely Daisy. Yeah. So go over there. Sub up. Anybody out there listening, I mean, for the love of God, let's get her to 500 subs there so
for
we can
real,
get that channel
y'all.
Monetized.
Let's do this.
Type in Tombstones Dead Air Time. Yes. You're listening over at Dan's or something like that. Tombstones Dead Air Time. She's going to come up. You're going to see the, you know, the party looking little redheaded girl right there. Coming up there, go over there and sub her up. Get her to that 500 for the love of God. That would be awesome. Nathan, what you got coming up for us, brother?
No, I'm hoping to finish everything for my sensor array on my stuff, man. I'm in like an Arduino hell right now, trying to build all kinds of new stuff on there, man. It's a real pain, but hopefully it'll be up by the end of the week, and then or next week, I should say. And then I'll have a full sensor array telling me exactly what gases and everything goes on and something. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, Nathan's channel is absolutely fascinating. He gets shocked all the time. He does experiments. He explains to us how this stuff works. I'm like Corky Thatcher. I don't understand what the hell's going on over there, but
did
I do watch.
Did you just say Corky
Thatcher? Desmond has a burrow in the marketplace.
Yeah. Right. I don't know.
Remember when he got the checkbook and went around? Remember when he got a checkbook and went around town like writing checks to everybody? It was like got a job as a short order cook. He's like, I want to be a short order cook. And the next thing you know, he's like writing checks everywhere in town. Yeah, what a great show. Gutter's Pub. Check her out. Yep. What you got, Gutters? What you got coming up for us?
I got a new t-shirt and it says, get in, losers. We're going to die of dysentery.
I'll bet that's a hit at the dive bar around the corner from your house.
We're going to die of dysentery.
We're going to die of dysentery.
It's like Oregon Trail, an Oregon Trail t-shirt.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's
and your hair looks fire.
You know, Dan, we have gone live at night, you know, before, and just like the stupid live streams and played Oregon Trail live, like the original one. Gutters always drowns in like 2 feet of water. The first time it's like, and she's like, I want to cock it. I want to cock it. You know, she's talking about the wagon, but but she ends up getting drowned every time. I don't understand.
That's because I step on my head when we're going across the river. That's why I drown.
I like to step on your head while we cock it. So go check out Gutters Pub. All you got to do is type in Gutters Pub into YouTube. KJ, you got any bangers coming out for us this week? KJ's a country music sensation. She just recently was singing a national anthem at a Bass Pro Shop fishing event. She's all over the world touring and all that kind of stuff.
So it's Katie with a Y. I know I haven't posted in a while. I've been actually singing live, and just keep an eye out. I'll be posting more. Get back on the tube.
There you go. So yes, Katie did. I think that's on the gram as well. So go over there, check out Yes, Katie Did. She posts all kinds of sultry pictures and stuff like that on the gram. So go over there and check her out at Yes, Katie Did. You should do that. LW, he goes live every now and then, and we just burn down his channel. We're trying to get it, for some reason or another, nobody knows how to find it. So just type in LW. You will be able to find it. It'll pop right up, I promise you. Over here, Traveling Fools, every Friday night right here, we've got Abby Normal coming at you. And if you want to watch any of our previous shows or anything like that, want to be a guest on the show, go to abbynormal.com. Mr. Producer in the background, he runs all that stuff for us. He's always here, going to be here forever and ever and ever. We love him to death. So abbynormal.com, you want to catch any of our previous episodes. But every Friday night right over here at Traveling Fools, all you got to do is type that into YouTube. You will find it right here. Sunday night, Sunday, be there, be dead. Every Sunday night, we do a trivia stream, 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the chat. Faster you answer, better off you are. We give away prizes. We give away stuff like that. It is absolutely amazing. We got all the smart people on YouTube coming over here and playing at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time every Sunday night. Traveling Fools, type that in. If you think you're smart, come over here and play, because we've got the smartest damn people on YouTube over here playing, and it is an absolute blast. We have a great time doing it. Dan, any last words for us, brother?
No, thanks a lot for having me, man. I mean, shit, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it. I'm glad this was an enjoyable conversation. Have to do it again.
Yeah, we're not stuffy, are we?
No, not stuffy. Not stuffy.
Have you got invited on the things before where you got there and it was just like, damn, these people are lame. This is no fun.
Oh, yeah, it's not usually too bad. Most of the people that invite me on are pretty chill. It's usually when I talk to scientists and I interview them that I end up like feeling like I'm talking to a bunch of stuffy folk. Most people, you know, most people, they take one look at me and they're like, well, Dan, if that boy didn't have some subscribers, I'd feel like I needed to give him money so he could afford to buy food. So I'm good. I do all right. But
yeah, I think you washed my car window the other day. I was sitting outside, you know, outside of Atlanta, you know, and I think you walked up and actually washed my car window. So.
I was in Florida, and so I was sitting on I bought a couple of beers from 7-Eleven. I'm waiting for my Uber to come. I'm sitting on the corner. I'm drunk, waiting for my Uber. Bitch is lost. She's driving in circles. I'm watching her on my own phone. I'm watching her in real life. I'm like, oh, this fucking idiot. God damn, blah, blah, blah. And I feel a tap on my shoulder. I look at some 20-something girl handing me money. I hope you have a better day, sir. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh. Give that to the next guy that looks like me. He might need it. I'm good. I'm just pissed at this retarded. Aww. I'm not like drunk.
That's hilarious.
You get one of those people. You know those morons that do those YouTube shorts, you know, where they're out there like giving the homeless people money, you know, on the road and filming it, you know. They like come up to you. They're like, you know, hey, brother, can I? So how's your day going? How's your, you know, and all this. Do you need me to take you to Walmart and buy you a new pair of shoes? You know,
all this shit. Yeah, I do. It's funny. I wear my shoes till they're like, I don't wear good shoes most places because I know that like girls look at your shoes to evaluate how much money you got. So.
Do girls do that?
Oh, you hush your mouth. So we heard. Oh, of course so you do.
Dad took the money and bought beer. No, I didn't take the money. I'd already bought beer. I didn't take the money. No, it's like the, guys have some guys will wear like nice shoes and stuff, and I don't. I'm not gonna. I mean, there's no. Yeah, I had somebody ask me why I don't like dress better, and it's like, what am I supposed to buy a fucking pimp hat and fucking shoes with aquariums in the heels?
I want those shoes with the goldfish in the back, and then you realize the goldfish dies, you know, and it's like, wow, that's was awesome. Point, you looked really like, cool.
Every step you take, you're like.
Every step
animal cruelty.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Poor little bastards in there bouncing up and down in his head.
Poor thing.
Yeah, you know,
animal cruelty, Dad, you know, it's like.
Hey, Dan, I do have to say, before we get out of here, outro has already started. I am going to go to Gnung Padong before too long, and I do want to get up with you and Jimmy before I do that and see anything that y'all want me to film or any of that. So I will be going there very soon.
Right on. Yeah, let me know.
Right, yeah, definitely want to, you know, be able to talk to you guys about that. So Dan Richards right there, great show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. It has been an absolute blast hanging out with all you guys. Dan is the man. Thank you very much for coming in there. And everybody, tell us goodbye in the chat. Hope you have a great 4th of July weekend. Hope to see you back here next Friday night for Abnormal. We're going to be breaking down. We do a little bit every now and then. We break down movies and go in there and break it down. So we're going to have a bracket night going up. The most iconic horror movie of all time next Friday night. If you like kind of stuff like that, come check us out every Friday night over here at Traveling Fools. So just type it in. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We hope to see you with all 10 fingers. God bless everybody. Happy 4th of July.
Thanks, Dan.
A lot of fun.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Night, everyone.
Old man builds, too. Oh, yeah.
Just to go ahead and bring this up, I've seen the stat. Whoever keeps telling us we're stupid in the chat, we absolutely love you. Thanks for being here.
We favor all of
Nothing better than that. Nothing better than somebody who has typed in 50,000 times into the chat saying, you're all stupid. That's yeah, thanks for being here the whole time, you fucking moron.
Yeah. We like retards.
Right.
Big shout out here, coming in here, right here at the end of the show. Malti, my good friend, Malti, gifting out 5 Traveling Fools memberships. Thank you so much, Malti. Much appreciated, buddy. Love you.
Getting shapes. Getting taller. Zip your mouth, big dog Maw, zip it.
She ain't wrong.